Well, happy Sabbath, dear ones, and welcome to our main church service on this 28th day of June 2025. Welcome to those that are joining us on the phone, those that are here in the room, and those that are listening to the recording of today's service. I'm glad to have each one of you in fellowship. I have one announcement before we get into our service. And that announcement is this next Sabbath, which will be the 5th of July, we'll be having foot washing and communion. So next Sabbath, July the 5th, is foot washing and communion for our main church service. So dear ones, please come prepared for that high Sabbath celebration. So that's the one announcement that I have. Our opening song is Watchmen Blow the Gospel Trumpet. Watchmen blow the gospel trumpet, every soul a warning give. Whosoever hears the message may repent and turn and live. Blow the trumpet, trusty watchman. Blow it loud o'er land and sea. God commission, sound the message. Every captive may be free.
Sound it loud o'er every hilltop, gloomy shade and sunny plain. Ocean does repeat the message, full salvation's glad refrain. Blow the trumpet, trusty watchman. Blow it loud o'er land and sea. God commission, sound the message. Every captive may be free.
Sound it in the hedge and highway. Earth's dark spots where exiles roam, let it tell all things are ready. Father waits to welcome home. Blow the trumpet, trusty watchman. Blow it loud o'er land and sea. God commission, sound the message, every captive may be free.
Sound it for the heavy laden, weary long to be free. Sound the Savior's invitation, sweetly saying, come to me. Blow the trumpet, trusty watchman, blow it loud on land and sea. God's commission sounds a message, every captain may he free.
Amen. And if you've accepted Christ, you are a watchman or watchwoman to sound that gospel message, salvation and freedom in Christ. So sound it, dear ones. Let that trumpet give a certain sound, uplifting the Savior. Dear ones, please join with me for opening prayer. Loving Father, thank you so very much for hearing and answering prayers, for being in control, for knowing the future, and for leading and guiding us through thy Spirit into the correct path that we should walk in order to have heaven as our home. We meet here in the name of Jesus, and we ask for your presence to be here with each listening heart. We also ask for the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit to be abiding guests. And may we have hearts that are open, pliable, and ready to accept the truth, the blessings from above, as it is in Jesus. Spirit, we need your guiding and leading hand. We need your wisdom to comprehend and understand the truth. We also ask that you will remove all barriers, all custom and tradition, preconceived ideas and opinions as to what is truth. Remove these far away from us so that there will be no hindrance to the truth that is in Jesus, the inspired Word of God, finding a place in our hearts. And Spirit, we also ask for grace. We ask for courage and determination. We also plead for love to fill our hearts, that we'll be willing to follow the truth, even though it may be completely different than what we thought. That we'll be willing to follow the truth and thus follow our Savior whithersoever he leads us, meaning we will not stay put, but will go out to be with him. And thank you so much for leading and guiding us into understanding. Savior, thank you for being our deliverer as well as our great physician. And we pray that you will bring your deliverance, your healing grace to deal with our physical, mental, or spiritual ailments. And thank you for setting us free. Thank you also, dear Father, for allowing us to be alive for just such a time as this. It's not by mistake, it's not by chance that we're here. And help us to make the most of the opportunity that you have granted to us to be co-laborers with you in seeking to save the lost. Thank you for digging us out of the pit of darkness and setting our feet on the solid rock. Help us never to step off. Help us to be established, firm, and secure. And be able to be with our Savior throughout eternity. So we thank you for hearing and answering this prayer, for allowing us to follow the Lamb whithersoever he leads us. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow, dear ones. This is part 7 in our series, Babylon Then and Now. And just a brief recap of what we've been through before we get into today's sermon. In parts 1 and 2, we learn that it's possible for a church of God to become Babylon and then become Babylon fallen with its corporate probation being closed. And we also learn that after probation closes corporately upon a once chosen church, then God calls all of his followers to come out of that church and separate from it and to follow him. So that was in parts 1 and 2. In parts 3 and 4, we discovered that the Seventh-day Adventist Church has followed the same course that caused the churches of God in the past to become Babylon. And because the church has united herself with the world and with the devil, she has become Babylon. And this was confirmed by Christ himself, because he personally denounced the Seventh-day Adventist Church as being a harlot of Babylon, but he did not denounce the church as being Babylon fallen at that time. So Christ mercifully gave a period of probation to the Adventist Church to see if she would break off her harlotrous love affair with the devil and the world and come back to the side of Christ, and thus avoid having her probation close corporately and becoming Babylon fallen, or if the church would choose to grow closer to the devil, to grow further into apostasy, and then to become Babylon fallen. So that's what we learned in parts 3 and 4. Now in parts 5 and 6, we learned that the Adventist Church was originally raised up and founded upon the three angels' messages. And so if the church would give up these three angels' messages, then she would become Babylon fallen. She would no longer be the church that she was in the beginning, but would have become Babylon fallen. And we also discovered that any books or magazines or articles that had been published on the Seventh-day Adventist denominational printing presses would carry denominational approval and would not be a private publication. In other words, it would have denominational approval as teaching denominational positions, and would not just be the private publication of the author of the book or the magazine article. And then we reviewed some of the major truths that were contained in the first angel's message. And we compared these truths to the current position which the Adventist Church today takes on the very same messages of heavenly truth. And quite amazingly, we discovered that the Adventist Church of today has changed the everlasting gospel into the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which God hates. We understood that the church teaches that Christ had advantages over humanity in regards to overcoming sin, and thus the church has robbed Christ away from the people as a personal savior who saves them from sin, into instead a savior who saves them in sin. We saw that they have changed fear God and keep his commandments of righteousness into now fear Satan and keep his commandments of sin. We discovered that the church has changed give glory to God by reflecting his character of righteousness into now giving glory to the devil by reflecting his character of unrighteousness. We learned that they have changed worship God alone and give him your spiritual allegiance into now worship other things and give your spiritual allegiance to the church and its leadership. And we discovered that the church has changed God's judgment against sin into now delivering us from personal sin. And we discovered that no one is really doomed to die in a lost condition, because the church teaches that all will be saved in sin. So we clearly understood last time that the Adventist church has changed the truth of the first angel's message into a message of falsehood that brings bondage and corruption. And so this plainly reveals to us that the Adventist church of today has rejected the original truth of the first angel's message and has replaced it with a counterfeit message of falsehood that originated with the father of lies himself. But that's just with the first angel's message. What about the second angel's message? What does the church now teach regarding that message from heaven? And for those that would like to follow along with the notes and quotes that I'll be referring to in this sermon, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/SDA/ID1464.htm. So lightministries.com/SDA/ID1464.htm. So what about the second angel's message? If you look at quote number one, the second angel's message is found in Revelation 14 verse 8. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Now, Babylon fallen, listed here in Revelation 14:8, represents the fall of the Protestant churches from God in 1844 because they rejected the light and truth from heaven contained in the first angel's message. The Roman Catholic Church had already apostatized from God and had become Babylon fallen many centuries before 1844. And God had chosen the Protestant churches to reveal his truths to the world. But the Protestant churches, as a corporate body, had also chosen to apostatize from Christ and depart from him, who was her husband, and to unite themselves in harlotry with the world and its leader, which is the devil. And as we'd already learned, God mercifully sent the first angel's message to break up their harlotrous love affair with the world and to bring them back to his side as a faithful bride once again. But the Protestant churches refused to do this. They rejected the first angel's message and became Babylon fallen in 1844. Now, the wine of Babylon represents her false doctrines, which the churches hold out for all the world to drink from. And the main false doctrines contained in this fermented and intoxicating beverage are Sunday observance and the immortality of the soul. So that's what the Adventist Church used to believe regarding the truths contained in the second angel's message. So then what does the church believe today about the second angel's message? If you look at quote number two, does the Adventist Church still teach that Babylon represents Rome and apostate Protestantism? The Adventist Church of today believes that Babylon is a modern wicked city. That's from Signs of the Times, June 1992, page 29. The church believes that Babylon is the wickedness of my city. It's from Adventist Review, December 31, 1992, page 9. The Adventist Church believes that Babylon is evil influences. Signs of the Times, June 1992, page 29. It believes that Babylon is the arch enemy of Christ and his church. Adventist Review, July 13, 1989, page 11. It believes that Babylon is still present as a mindset or attitude. That's Signs of the Times, May 1992, page 13. The Adventist Church believes that Babylon is worshiping anyone but God alone. That's Adventist Review, October 15, 1992, page 11. The Adventist Church teaches that Babylon represents spiritual compromise. From Signs of the Times, Special Issue, 1985, page 8. It believes Babylon to be the attempt to gain salvation through one's own works. Adventist Review, December 31, 1992, page 9. It's also in the book marked, page 150. The Adventist Church teaches that Babylon today represents the idea that I can save myself or that I can do it myself in terms of living the Christian life or of getting to heaven. That's from the book The Return of Elijah, page 61, by Morris L. Vinden, published by the Pacific Press Publishing Association in 1982. And the Adventist Church believes that Babylon represents the futility of building one's life on either a try-harder or a do-as-you-please principle. Babylon represents both nations and individuals. It's from Adventist Review, September 7, 1989. Page 26. Amazing. So Babylon is anything but Catholicism or apostate Protestantism. So with this new view, no one is led to come out of any church. Quite amazing. Now, in addition to the above modern positions regarding what Babylon is, the Adventist Church no longer believes that the fall of Babylon is because the church apostatized from God by uniting herself in harlotry with the devil and the world and refusing to repent. But now, the Adventist Church teaches that the fall of Babylon represents, if you look at quote number 3, fallen is racism, child abuse, death squads, loneliness, crack, torture, separation, death. That's from the Adventist Review of December 31, 1992, page 9. And the Adventist Church teaches that the fall of Babylon represents the collapse of the Soviet Union. That's from Signs of the Times, May 1992, page 12 to 13. So with this new view of what Babylon fallen is and what comprises Babylon, there's no need for anyone to come out and physically separate themselves from Catholicism or apostate Protestantism, or from any other Babylonian church. So then, what does the Adventist Church declare that God's people need to separate from in order to get away from Babylon. If it's not Catholicism or apostate Protestantism or any other church, what does the church teach people need to come out from today to escape from Babylon? You look at quote number 4. The Adventist church believes that the call to come out of Babylon is to flee evil. That's Adventist Review, February 16, 1984, page 7. To come out of falsehood. Signs of the Times, March 1990, page 28. You can also find it in the book Marked, page 83. And finally, to set aside our natural self-sufficiency and pride and give our wills to God. From the book Marked, page 84. Again, amazing. Now, if you look at quote number 5, what about the truth that Babylon's wine represents her false doctrines upon which she is founded, namely, Sunday observance and immortality of the soul? What does the Adventist Church now believe about the wine of Babylon? In the Adventist Review, September 7, 1989, page 26. The ideology of continued world progress, that man has the solutions to the besetting problems of our age, that given a little more time, he can, without divine intervention, produce a better world, is the intoxicating wine that Babylon has dispensed to the entire world. It's so extremely sad. So according to the Adventist Church of today, Babylon Fallen is anything but an apostate, corrupt church. So no longer do people need to separate themselves from the corrupt Roman Catholic Church, or the apostate Protestant churches, or any other apostate and corrupt church. But they only need to separate themselves from wicked cities, evil influences, the arch enemy, falsehood, certain mindsets and attitudes, spiritual compromise, working for our own salvation, racism, child abuse, death squads, loneliness, crack, torture, separation, and death. And also the Soviet Union. And the intoxicating wine of Babylon is not Sunday observance or immortality of the soul, but is instead our own efforts to make the world better. How many tears has Christ shed? So this reveals, dear ones, the Adventist Church has changed the truth of the second angel's message into extreme vagueness and falsehood. And they are keeping people in bondage to the real Babylon, to the loss of their souls. So I hope you can see that the Adventist Church has rejected the truth of the second angel's message and is instead holding out to the world a counterfeit message of deception. And yet, the vast majority of Adventists don't realize that the church has changed . So we've seen that the Adventist Church has rejected the first angel's message. She's rejected the second angel's message. What about the third angel's message? What about this very last message of mercy from God that this world will ever hear just before probation closes and Christ comes? That's what we'll discover when we meet again in this series. This next Sabbath, we're going to have foot washing and communion. And the Sabbath after, we'll open it up for questions and answers. And then we'll come back in finding out if the Adventist Church still teaches the original truths contained in the third angel's message upon which she was founded upon, or if the Adventist Church has also rejected the truths of the third angel and is teaching a counterfeit message. It's extremely sad. And yet it's amazing to realize how deep the apostasy is. And remember, apostasy is an abandoning of what you once believed to be truth. That's what apostasy is. And it's astounding how deep the apostasy is. But praise God for allowing us to have the evidence to prove it. And praise God for sending His Spirit to open our eyes, to open our understanding, and to lead us directly to Jesus. And praise Jesus for being our leader, whom we can follow and safely know we're in the right path. So we hope to see you next time, dear ones. Our closing song is Sound a Loud Cry. Sound the loud cry, Babylon's demise is nigh. Point her captives high to the Lord. Bring them all out with a mighty shout, standing firm upon God's holy word. Rouse then, remnant refreshed by the latter rain. Ready, steady, spread the truth along. Onward, forward, preach the righteousness of Christ. He is captive of the mighty throng.
Strong to meet the foe, marching on we go, while God's cause we know must prevail. With the Spirit's might, the earth is filled with light. The enemy is now inside, we cannot fail. Rise and run and refresh, part of one ray. Ready, standing, spread the truth along. Onward, forward, preach the righteousness of Christ. He is captain of the mighty throne.
O thou God of all, hear us when we call. Help us not to fall by thy grace. When the battle's won, Babylon's fall is done, millions saved to stand before thy face. Rouse then, remnant, refreshed by the latter rain, ready, steady, spread the truth along. Onward, forward, preach the righteousness of Christ. He is captain of the mighty throne.
Amen. That's what God is asking us to do. Come directly to the Savior. Follow and give the loud cry. Bring all the precious souls that will obey the message out of Babylon to stand firm upon Christ, the Holy Word of God. He'll give us all the grace, all the strength, all the power of the Spirit to obey, to spread the truth, and to continue onward and upward to the kingdom of heaven. What a mighty Savior we have. What a mighty general we're following. And he gives us all the grace and the righteousness to remain faithful to him who has loved us and died for us. Thank you, Savior. Please join with me for closing prayer. Father, we thank you so very much for not leaving us in darkness, not leaving us in that pit, but digging us out of that darkness and setting our feet on the solid rock. Thank you, Savior, for being our example in all things. Thank you for giving your life, for going out of the camp, so that everyone who follows you out of the camp can also find life. I pray that you will continue to pour your Spirit out upon all those who have yet to hear the precious loud cry call, who have yet to hear the three angels' messages combined with the fourth. Prepare their hearts and let them be curious to want to know for themselves. Father, we also pray that you'll be with those who have heard the message. Pour your Spirit upon them that they might see the true application of the message and not be blind to the fact that it applies to all the established churches, not just to Rome and apostate Protestantism. but to all the established churches, even the Jewish church, that is a Sabbath-keeping church, and thus even the Adventist church, which is also a Sabbath-keeping church. Help them to understand the truth about Babylon. Help them to study for themselves. Help them to examine the fruits. And give them the grace and the courage to understand and to follow. Thank you for doing so. Please, Father, also pour thy Spirit out upon those who have heard the message and rejected it. Please trouble their hearts. Please open their understanding. Help them to revisit the issue. And also help them to have an honest heart so that they might be able to see the truth. And Father, be with those who have heard the message and have followed the message. Please grant us extra grace and strength to remain faithful to Jesus, to continue to follow him whithersoever he leads, and not to give up, not to lose faith, not to become so wrapped up in the cares and perplexities of life that we lose sight of the Savior. Help us not to lose our crowns, but to be that much more dedicated, that much more earnest, that much more determined to remain a humble, obedient follower of our Savior, so that we don't come so far and then lose salvation, but that we continue to hold fast, to endure until the end, that we might win that precious crown of life and be with our Savior forevermore. Thank you, Savior, for enduring so much sadness and sorrow because of a once faithful people apostatizing from you. Help us never to follow that example again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So next time we take part 8 in this series, we'll be reviewing and investigating into what the Adventist Church believes today about the three angels' messages, specifically the third. Dear ones, are there any thoughts, any questions, insights, anything else that you'd like to share? Please go right ahead. Well, here's a hymn that deals with endurance. I saw one weary, sad, and torn, with eager steps press on the way, who long the hallowed cross had borne, still looking for the promised day. While many a line of grief and care upon his brow was furrowed there, I asked what buoyed his spirits up. Oh, this, said he, the blessed hope.
And one saw with sword chilled, who boldly braved the world's cold frown, and fought unyielding on the field to win an everlasting crown. Though worn with toil, oppressed by foes, no wonder from his heart arose. I asked what bind his spirits up. Oh, this, said he, the blessed hope.
And there was one who left behind the cherished friends of early years, and honor, pleasure, wealth resigned to tread the path bedewed with tears. Through trials deep and conflicts sore, yet still a smile of joy he wore. I asked what buoyed his spirits up. Oh, this, said he, the blessed hope.
Okay. While pilgrims here we journey on, in this dark veil of sin and gloom, through tribulation, hate, and scorn, or through the portals of the tomb, till our returning King shall come to take his exiled captives home. Oh, what can buoy the spirits up? 'Tis this alone, the blessed hope.
Amen. You never go wrong in following the Lamb, even though the path is straight, narrow, and upward, but it's rugged. And yet, it's not impossible with Christ, who strengthens us every step of the way. But dear ones, any final thoughts, questions, comments that you'd like to bring forth before we close today's service? Please go right ahead. Well, I pray that you'll have a wonderful, blessed remaining Sabbath day and a very wonderful, blessed new week that's soon to be here. And remember, this next Sabbath, July the 5th, is foot washing and communion for our main church service. So please come prepared for that. Until then, dear ones, continue growing in grace, continue following the Savior, continue exemplifying the Christian virtues and attributes in your life, and keep looking up.
Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking.